right, the question for today is, what are you handing down? And as we talk about mothers, I want to address this particularly to mothers, grandmothers, mothers-to-be. Guys, the same question is going to apply to you come Father's Day, but that's a month away. So right now, we're really going to focus on mothers. And the question is, what are you handing down? What are you handing down to your children? A lot of people say, you know, I want to be able to leave my kids money. I want to be able to leave them property. I want to be able to leave them cars. I want to be able to leave them my guns, my jewelry. What are we handing down? I did some research this week and was frankly surprised at what I learned about what people are learning from their mothers. Listen to the top four things that kids are learning from their mothers. They're learning spending and attitudes about money. That's number one. Number two is to worry too much. Number three, picky eating, okay? And number four, being unable to say I'm sorry. Those are the top four things, according to the latest surveys, that children are learning from their mothers. Well, that's not what God wants us to learn from our mothers, okay? And what I want to talk about today as we turn our thoughts and our minds over the next few weeks and months to eternal things, I want to talk about what God wants us to learn, particularly from our mothers. And to do that, let's start, if you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and stand as we read this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And this is Paul writing to Timothy, and he's greeting him, and he's telling him how much he loves him and what he thinks about him. And he says in verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." So you may be seated. You see, Paul is praising Timothy's mother and grandmother for handing down their genuine faith. That's what he's saying. He says, "I call to remembrance the genuine faith that was first in your grandmother and then in your mother." It is the most important thing that you mothers can hand down to your children. It beats any money. It beats any retirement account. It beats any jewelry. It beats your wedding dress. It beats any guns, anything that you can think of. The most important thing that you mothers can hand down to your children is genuine faith. As we look at the Bible, we know a lot about Timothy's family. We know, for instance, that his father was not a believer. Okay? His father was a pagan. So, those mothers, sometimes you think you're fighting against long odds. Look, listen to Timothy. He grew up in a household where dad was a pagan, but mother and grandmother came to belief in Jesus Christ under the teaching of Paul, and Paul trained them specifically, and Timothy grew up in their home. And he grew up watching, listening, learning from mom and grandmother. And they passed down this genuine faith to Timothy. Now, some of your translations may say sincere faith. And let's talk about what this faith is. This faith is a belief in Jesus Christ that is deeply, deeply rooted. It's so deeply rooted that the Bible says it's written on your heart. It's how you see the world. It's how you process information. It creates your worldview. It is so ingrained in you that you know God's Word. You love God's Word. As we talked about last week when we had the Gideon presentation, we meditate on God's Word day and night. It gives us the ability to be strong. It gives us the ability to persevere. It gives us the ability to succeed. So those things are what comprise genuine faith. And this is the kind of faith that Timothy had. And Paul writes that Timothy had it because of two mothers in his life, a grandmother and a mother. So is it okay for grandmothers to dote on grandkids? Yeah, okay, that works, okay? Let's dote on them in a particular way. Is it okay for mothers? Absolutely. But we want to talk today about how this genuine faith gets handed down, because it is the most important thing you can do. Turn, if you will, with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to spend some time in that Old Testament scripture. So obviously the first thing that we have to do, mothers, that you have to do in order to hand down genuine faith is you have to have genuine faith. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So you must be in the Bible. You must have given your life to Jesus Christ in order to have genuine faith. You must be devoted to Him. You must have surrendered to Him, right? And that is the most freeing thing that you can do. But let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to start really in verse 6. And this talks about what genuine faith is. It says, "And these words which I have commanded to you today shall be in your heart." So this is Moses. What's getting ready to happen is the children of Israel are getting ready to go in the promised land. If you remember when they left Egypt, their parents, their mothers and fathers, rebelled against God. They grumbled against God. They complained about God taking them out of Egypt into the desert where all they had to eat was this special manna every day. And gosh, it was hard to get water sometimes, but they complained and they grumbled against God. What kind of lesson do you think that sent to their kids? Not a good lesson, right? So God said, you guys are going to wander in the desert for 40 years. Only two of you that are alive right now will go into the promised land. And the reason you're going to do that is because you've rebelled against me, you've dishonored me. And I want your kids to go into this land, as you're going to see, honoring God. I want your family to start off right. So let's go back and pick it up in Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. And Moses is given this speech. He's trying to teach them, trying to remind them that they got to be different. They've got to follow God's word. And it says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you in a land of milk and honey." So Moses goes on. He's teaching them. He's going to tell them how it is that they are going to take this faith that they have, this God-honoring faith that they have, and hand it down to their children. And in verse 7, he just flat out nails it, as we have here. The first thing that they had to do and the first thing that mothers have to do to pass on that genuine faith is to teach their children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, Moses writes, "You shall teach them diligently to your children." You shall teach these words, these commandments diligently to your children, "and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." So the very first thing that a mother has to do to hand down this genuine faith is to teach her children diligently in all that the Lord has commanded. Right? Now, you guys know that every time that we open our mouths as parents, we're teaching, right? We're either teaching a good lesson or we're teaching a bad lesson, right? So we want to teach good lessons. When do we need to teach? Moses answers that question. He says, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, or when you rise up. That pretty much covers every situation, doesn't it? All right? So we need to teach in every situation. Anytime a mother is interacting with her child, it is an opportunity to teach. And we need to understand that. And the benefit of teaching, the benefit of teaching the statutes and commandments, Moses says back in verse 2, he says that your days may be prolonged. And if you guys remember the Ten Commandments, this sounds a lot like one of the Ten Commandments that reads, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land. Jesus called it the first commandment with a promise. So we are promised as children that if we honor our fathers and mothers, that our lives are going to be prolonged. But as mothers, your job, your first responsibility is to teach. And that word in the original language doesn't just mean to talk. It does mean to talk. But it means to take that lesson and impress it. It's like your biscuit mold, right? Or your cookie cutter. You're going to take that and you're going to impress God's word on your children. So obviously, if you're going to do that, we have to talk about it. It needs to be a constant, recurring theme for us. And we teach all the time. But that's number one. We have to teach our children diligently. Number two, God tells us that we should train up a child in the way that he or she should go. The mother should train her children in the way of life and in the proper relationship with God. So you say, well, wait a minute, we just covered teaching. What's the difference? There is a difference between teaching and training. What happens when your little ones are so young that they can't understand the words that you're saying to them? Do you not bring them to church? No, you still bring them to church. That's training. We've got babies in here. I love it when they cry out. You know why? Because it tells me that they are here. Training a child to come to church is something that is so important and so neglected. Bring your babies. Don't worry about what they're doing. Okay? We're good with that. Amen. All right? It teaches them. There should be, if your child has grown up in church and grown up in a Christian household, they should not be able to remember a time when they didn't go to church. So let's do that. Let's train them. What else do we train them to do? Well, let's train them to pray. Maybe not the words. Again, they may get to that. They'll get to that eventually, and you'll teach them the words. But how do we train them? Well, we tell them, bow down on your knees. We start out simple, and we train them to pray each night, right? We train them to pray before meals. We train them. It's not necessarily the specific words, but it's the attitude towards God. We train them, thirdly, and this one's important too. The third way that we bring them up is to model or exemplify God. And mothers, this one could well be the most important. Because if you, and this works again for dads too. Your time's coming, so don't think you're getting out of this. But for mothers today, you can teach and you can train, but if you don't model, if you don't exemplify what you're saying, you're going to get into one of those things where your kid looks back at you and says, well, you're not doing that. Anybody ever said, well, you're supposed to do as I say, not as I do? Yeah, fess up. I have, okay. That's really not a good thing that we should do. But I saw a couple of mothers raise their hand. We want to exemplify what God is in our lives. We want to show them that it's not about rule following. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can exemplify, you can model that relationship in every single situation. What about when bad things happen? How do you model it then? Well, you model it by going to the Lord in prayer, and your kids see you turning to God when things are not going well, depending on God for every little situation in life, going to God on things that, a lot of people say, that's so piddly. God's not concerned with that. Yes, he is. God tells us in his word he is concerned with every little thing that happens to his children. We are the apple of his eye. You grandmothers, that's an old phrase. You grandmothers ever say your grandchild is an apple of your eye? You know what that means? Maybe some mothers still do. I love that saying. It means that is just the object of your affection. And that's what God says that we are when we become his children. We are the apple of his eye. What an amazing thing. So we want to teach, we want to train, we want to model as parents and particularly as mothers. Now, we know from the Bible that there were some mothers that had some really bad influences on their children. Ahab and Jezebel had a son who became king, and listen to what the Bible says about him. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. Okay? So mothers have just so much of a profound influence on their kids. Look at the bulletin quote we put in there today. This is so true. I mean, I love this quote. I think we used it last year too. It's because I like it so much. But it says, there is somehow a wonderful power about a mother's voice when she talks to her children about Jesus and his love, which stamps itself on the heart, and the heart is a far better place for the custody of truth than ever the brain can become. God says, I want you to write these words on your heart, and the way I want you to do it is I want your mother, your grandmother, the women who are influences in your life, I want them to teach you, to train you to model these words. So it is a high calling. Mothers, it is a very high calling. And you think, oh man, can I do it? You can do it with the help of Jesus Christ, and you can do it through the Holy Spirit. And listen to what the Bible says. You say, well, what am I supposed to model for them? Proverbs 31 tells us a lot about what a virtuous woman is supposed to be like, what a holy example of a mother is supposed to be like. And I want to read this to you. It's just talking about a wise woman, a woman who's going to be able to teach her kids. And it says this, Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Now listen to these next verses. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. That's a godly woman as described in the Bible. And that sounds really daunting to some people. And it is. You can be that way if you accept Jesus Christ. If you have God living on the inside of you and you have written His law on your hearts, this is what flows out naturally. It won't be work, even though it will be the hardest job you've ever loved, right? It won't be work. It will be a labor of love. It will be something where you are investing in those children. Think about how Lois and Eunice, Timothy's mother and grandmother, invested in him. Years after they had passed on, Timothy is still preaching. Timothy's bringing the gospel to other people that they've never seen, they've never heard of. They don't even know exist. But their influence lived on. It's going to live on further than anything physically that they could have handed down to Timothy. It's going to live on further than any tent, any cloak, any clothing, any property that they handed down to Timothy. So the challenge today is, what are you handing down? Where's your focus? What's important to you to hand down? And I again submit to you that the most important thing that you can hand down is your genuine faith. It will change your children's lives forever. It will enable them to have confidence. It will enable them to survive in a world that is getting darker and darker. It gives them a worldview that cannot be shaken. But it takes teaching, it takes training, and probably most important, it takes living it. Because just saying it won't get it today, right? Kids pick up everything. They watch you constantly, right, kids? Now, just so you kids don't think you've gotten out of this, okay? Let me tell you what the Bible says about listening to your godly mother. All the kids ready? I know all the parents are listening. It says, Proverbs 6:20, my son and daughters, keep your father's command and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. It is a promise that God gives to his children that if you will honor your father and mother and do not forsake the teaching of your parents, he will add life to you. It is the source of life that he's giving. It is the source of life that you're handing down to those kids. So step one, like we talked about, is you have to have that genuine faith. If you're here today and you have not experienced the genuine faith, you've not given yourself to God, you've not said, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior, then you do not have genuine faith. You can change that today. You can say, God, I understand. I need you. I admit that I am a sinner, and I want to equip my kids with biblical success. I want to hand down genuine faith, and God, I want to have it. He'll fill you in. If you're sitting here today and you say, man, that's a tough task. Yes, it is. Pray to God. He will equip you. If any person lacks wisdom, pray and it will be given to you. He will give it to you because that's his will, right? And if you're sitting here today saying, I've blown it. As a father, I've blown it in the past. If you're sitting here and that's your attitude, God is a God of forgiveness and of new starts. If you've blown it, you know what? At 11:46, you can start afresh. You can start anew. You can pray to God, help me fix this. Help me pass down what I now know. Let me pass down genuine faith at this point in time. And he will equip you to do that. He uses people all day long who have blown it. Every single one of us has blown it in some way. So don't ever let that stop you from handing down your faith. Never let that stop you from handing down your genuine faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for what you've so clearly told us in your word that we as parents should do. And we thank you that you enable the mothers to pass down their faith. You've given us this great scriptural example, Lord, but we see it every day in our lives. We thank you for the mothers that are here today. We thank you for the mothers that bring their kids, even when the kids have no clue what I'm saying, okay? We just thank you so much that they do this, and we want them to come. We want them to be trained. Lord, we thank you for godly mothers who are modeling your truth, your life, your word for their kids, Lord. I pray that you equip them every single day to live life the way that you want them to live and to be the godly teachers, trainers, and modelers that you want them to be. Lord, if there's someone here who's not accepted your word yet and has not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we pray that they do that so that they can become a child of God, Lord, with your amazing love that we sang about. Lord, for those of us who are Christians, Lord, and we've messed up, we've sinned, we've not done like we should, restore our hearts, restore us to your word, show us how you want us to act to pass down that genuine faith. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, who lived and died for us, that we have eternal life and that we may know for sure that we have it and that we may hand it down to our children. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.